practice with this thing. All right, guys, if you pass the booklet out, let's go ahead and do that. So tonight you have a ministry involvement booklet, and we'll be going through that tonight. What exciting time it is to be alive. One of the greatest times to influence others for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have more avenues to do so, more ways in which we can send the gospel out. I'm glad in America we have the freedom. One per person's fine. Not the maybe. We have enough. Do we have enough to do the high school? Yeah, I think we'll stick with high school up. All right. And some of you guys may have to look on with each other. Okay. Then if we have extras, we can do that. But each adult can have one. Absolutely. In fact, we want each adult to have one. It is a privilege and a joy to be a part of ministry. It's a privilege and a joy to be able to participate in God's plan for this New Testament age, to be a part of His churches, and in particular Heritage Baptist Church. And I still believe at Heritage we have one of the greatest opportunities to impact our community for the Lord Jesus Christ than anything I've ever been a part of. There's a wonderful opportunity here. As we door knock and as we do other things here, as we pass out flyers, we still see, every time we pass out flyers, we see results from it. Every time. It's unbelievable, even, you know, on the youth that pass out and do soul winning on Saturday, usually once a month or maybe not quite that much, we'll see results from that. We'll see somebody come because the youth have passed out something or and so forth. I know the Gibsons are here because they got a flyer on their door. And there's others here that their first introduction to our church was by way of a flyer that they got in the mail, a flyer they got on the door. And so it is primarily, a church primarily grows through personal contacts, that is through your friends, your family, as Brother, whatever his name was, that came here and preached. Brother Thomas preached that. It is through your friends, your relatives, and your acquaintances that will make the greatest impact. But understanding that the Bible says for us to go out two by two, to go in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that it's absolutely biblical for us to continue to go out and to pass out flyers and to pass out tracts and to be personally involved in that. And so we want to continue that as a church. And all that to say that it still works. That passing out flyers, passing out tracts, doing all these things, it still works. It works every time. Every time we pass out 5 or 10,000 tracts, we always end up with people coming to our church. Always. And every time we've passed out, especially mailed out the flyer for the Fall Festival, we always have new people. What's amazing to me at the Fall Festival is we have people that come to the Fall Festival every year that are repeats, have never visited our church, but have come to the Fall Festival every year. Because every year I remember them. I'll say, hey, I know you've come the last 3 years. You've come the last 4 years. Oh, yeah, we love your Fall Festival. Our kids love it. And I see them at the baseball field. I see them at other places. And so it's still, even though they may not come here, it absolutely gets our church name out there. And we become acquainted with our community and be a blessing to our community. And there are people, especially on this side and people on the other side of 35, who may never come down 156. And so them getting a flyer at their door and a flyer in the mail, now they know where we're at, right? And I'm telling you, there are probably still a majority of people that when they get a church flyer in the mail, they chunk it. It still works, and we're still going to continue to do it. But a flyer at the door, I know a good part of people chunk those too, but a lot of times there's more an opportunity for them to look at it then. At least either they're glad or they're mad, you know. Mad because somebody put something on their door. It's like Sendero Ranch putting out the no soliciting signs. By the way, the church is not necessarily under that same rules. And in order for that to be legal, they would have to put no soliciting signs on every door. And so I don't know how they're, you know, they put the signs out, but that I know some of you have asked me that question. What about Sendero Ranch? They haven't, as far as I'm concerned, in the legal things we have checked on, they're not doing that legally. It probably scares off a lot of the no soliciting, maybe some of the others. But churches and politicians are not subject to no soliciting signs. Now, as a church, As a church, our policy is, if there's a no soliciting sign on the door itself, we do not put nothing on the door. So if you're passing out flyers and there's a no soliciting sign on the door itself, do not put a flyer or a track on that door. Right? Be kind, rewind, right? But if a whole neighborhood wants to put no soliciting up, we're not going to be subject to that. We're going to continue to go in that neighborhood as long as we can and pass out flyers and so forth and do that. So I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway, I did. So there's our policies, okay? And the door knocking absolutely still works. And so especially in this area, because you still have a lot of people moving. You have a lot of people moving in and out. Sendero Ranch has become, and it's still primarily homeowners, but there is a great, great group of renters in Sendero Ranch. And so you do have some in and out people that are moving in and out. And so we're going to continue to reach into those communities. So our goal is to reach into our community of about 10,000 homes in a circle here, at least twice a year, usually three or four times a year. But we want to absolutely get something on their door twice a year. Something on the door twice a year, in the spring and in the fall. And so I want to encourage you as we get closer to the fall festival days that we'll be passing out these flyers starting next week and getting into the community and so forth. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God has placed in His church, in this church, various gifts, various people who are preachers and teachers, evangelists and pastors and so forth, for the perfecting of the saints, for the building up, the edifying, the building up of His body. And we'll cover here in a moment, also in Corinthians. Let's pray. Lord, bless this time. Bless the reading of Your Word. Help us as we point out the importance of ministry here at our church. Lord bless, and we ask this in Your name. Amen. Let me give you, first of all, look there on page 2, the steps of a serving Christian. The steps of a serving Christian. And these will be real simple. We'll try to get on here. First off, number one is Christ. In other words, a person needs to be saved in order to serve as a Christian. A Christian is one who is Christ-like. And then growing in the Lord, and we won't take time to turn to all the Scripture, but John 15, 4 through 5 talks about us abiding in the vine. And so as Christians, a serving Christian, or one of those steps of service, is number one, to be saved and baptized, and then to be growing in the Lord and growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two is to be a member of the church, to be a member of the church, to join a church, and Jesus Christ commanded. Those commands were given to the church. They were not given to the Red Cross. They were not given to the Salvation Army. Can I say that again? Those are good organizations. They do their part. But the Great Commission, the commission of reaching the lost world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, was not given to any man-made movement. It was given to the church. And it's the responsibility of the churches. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 speaks about Paul and Barnabas being sent out of the church of Antioch to start churches, to take churches and put them in order. And so the church is God's institution to fulfill His purpose in this day and age. Can I say that again? The New Testament church is God's tool, is God's instrument for reaching this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you think about that, number three is consistency, that as a serving Christian, a Christian who is in serving the Lord needs to be one who is reads their Bible and prays and has a prayer time. One who is faithful in attendance at the church. Certainly we want someone who is serving. They ought to be an example of Bible reading and prayer time. They ought to be an example to those who work with them and those who may serve. If they're serving in leadership, they might be an example of church attendance to those who are serving with them. Amen? I mean, we want them to be an example. So consistency in the Bible reading and prayer time and church attendance, this service, are an indicator that we might be ready to go to another level in our service to Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 4:2, you can write that down. Moreover, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And in order to serve, we need to be one who is faithful. Number four is to consider. To consider what? To consider where do I fit? And this is what we'll be going over tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And for lack of time, I'm not going to go over there and read it. But there Paul refers to the body, refers to the church, and illustrates the church by way of a body. That some are eyes, some are fingers, some are noses, some are mouths. That we all have a place. We all fit in a certain place in the church to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us have been given a gift, given talents by the Lord to serve in His church. And we should be using those talents. So consider, where do I fit in? And then find where you find that, and then exercise your gift in that that way. And then number five is counsel. Counsel. Seek some counsel as to where and how you can serve. You might come and talk to me and say, "Preacher, you know, I believe I'm ready to serve, and where do you think I would fit in?" Or talk to Brother Wiggins or Brother Latta. Talk to our pastoral staff. Talk to Brother Cox or Brother Renz or Brother Zellner. Or, you know, talk to someone. Talk to your Sunday school teacher, Brother Clark, or someone who can help you. Brother Jantz, who can help you and steer you. Brother Fieser. I'm thinking about other men. I'm going to leave somebody out, but nobody will be offended, right? But get some counsel as to where to serve and what to do. And that'll be a real blessing. It'll help you. Pray about it, of course, and then seek counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And where's the best place for me to use my gift? Number six, commit. Commit. Then commit somewhere. Commit somewhere. Commit to a ministry and jump in with both feet. I put that down for a reason. A lot of times people will say, "Well, I think I'm going to serve here." And they kind of step in with one foot and kind of, you know, feel the water and see if it's okay or not. No, jump in with both feet. If you're going to commit, jump in with both feet and get at it. Right? I mean, just get at it. And it's the best way to know whether or not that's the place you fit. If you jump in and commit, there may be requirements of you from our church, some leadership requirements, and you can see that across the page there on page 3, the need for leadership requirements. As you read the following pages, you will further understand the heart behind what we call the leadership requirements. They are not just a list of rules. They are not meant to be enforced with a legalistic, holier-than-thou attitude. And they are not meant to define spirituality. Our heart in this matter is simply that our lives will be consistent with the Bible, both inside and out, and that our leaders in ministry would be pure vessels fit for the Master's use. One of the great illustrations of that is, if we're going to have a teacher teach, how can we have a teacher teach who doesn't tithe? You know, if a teacher's going to teach, whether they're whatever grade they may be teaching, at some point they're going to come across and have to teach a child or an adult on tithing. And how can they teach something they are not doing themselves? So we have requirements of certain in certain areas in our church. If you serve as a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, you have to sign leadership requirements. And we try to do that every year. And then the choir, there you sign leadership requirements. Why would we have someone stand on the platform who went out to Billy Bob's last night, right? Got real quiet. Why would we have someone in the choir who went out to Billy Bob's the night before? And you say, "Well, Billy Bob's has become a family-friendly place." Now, that's your opinion. Well, they have an under 18 section in this section. That's your opinion too. Oh man, I'm gonna dig a hole for myself. Oh, the stories I could tell about Bobby Spivey. I won't do that. Okay, Missy and Kelly. Anyway, all right. Inside joke. But commit, jump in. And then, again, as you jump in, there'll be some leadership requirements depending on what level. And at different levels, there are different leadership requirements. We've done a good job in the last year and then also in the last 4 weeks now of really defining what level of service and what commitments we're going to require. And we're really going to try to stick with them. I know there are some who still don't like the requirements. Listen, these same requirements I introduced to Lakeland 18 years ago when I went there. The same requirements we have now. Basically the same as I had at Lakeland 18 years ago, and now at Heritage for 12 years. We've swapped them, we switched them a little bit, but 18 years of my ministry, these are the requirements we've had, and they are good. We just live in a day and age which people are, for the most part, I'm not talking about Heritage, but we live in a non-committed age, because we live in that type of age. You know, we don't have people working at GM for the most part. I know we do some, but a lot of people don't work their job for 35 years like they used to. And they come to church and they're not as committed in those ways. We also, there's a whole lot more I could go into. But just jump in with both feet. Get involved. And just get involved, and you'll see a difference. If you'll get involved and stick with it for a few months, you'll begin to see a difference in the ministry you have. And you know what? It'll get you excited. Say, hey, this matters. You know, me being a care group leader in my Sunday school class and me calling these 5 or 6 or 7 families, guess what? Now I know them. Now I get to help meet their needs. I get to encourage them. What a blessing. It matters. Absolutely matters. So, leadership requirements. Okay? Commence. Number 7, commence. Get going. Again, I just said it. See the difference you can make. And there'll always be challenges. But the rewards far outweigh the price that is paid. As we gave the testimony, Brother Juan and Eva gave a testimony the other night, the price, the rewards far outweigh the price. People's lives can be forever changed because you personally have entered the ministry. And whatever ministry that may be. And then number 8, continue. Instead of trying to prevent you to serve, now the devil will try to render you ineffective. So the devil, you know, he's speaking over in your ear. He's saying you don't have time to serve. You don't have time to do that. You don't have time to do this. And he is trying to get you not to serve. Once you step into service, he is going to try to render your service ineffective. He's going to try to get you discouraged. Can I remind you that we serve alongside people? And you happen to be one of them. And from time to time, people are going to disappoint you. By the way, your preacher from time to time is going to disappoint you. We're not serving the preacher, we're serving the Lord. We're not serving Brother Hokett, we're serving the Lord. I'm not saying Brother Hokett's going to disappoint you, but he's not in here, so I thought I'd just use his name. Brother Wiggins at some point is going to disappoint you. Brother Latta, the pastoral staff, Brother Cox, we're just going to disappoint you from time to time. And sometimes in serving, we come with these unrealistic expectations, just like we do in marriage. You know, you first get married and you have all these expectations from your spouse, and you think everything's going to be just like it is in the movies, you know, fairy tale and everything else. And then you wake up. You look at your spouse without makeup on, and you say, what in the world? No, I'm just kidding. But you have unrealistic expectations. And the same thing happens in the ministry. You jump into a ministry, you find out that, oh, you know, the leadership isn't quite what you thought it was, that there's not quite as organized as you would like it, and it's not quite up to what you would think, and maybe up to your level of whatever, and you just find that it doesn't quite meet your standard. Listen, we're just people. But I'm just a person. I'm just wanting to win people to Jesus. That's it. And we have learned some effective ways to do that. Now, can every ministry be more effective? Yes. But we're just made up of people who want to serve. Amen? I just want to win people to Jesus. I want to do it to the best of my ability. I want our church to do it to the best of our ability. But we're just human beings. We're just, you know, earthen vessels, Paul said. Right? We're just clay pots. Cheap clay pots is what Paul was referring to. And so just keep that in mind. The devil's going to try to discourage you once you enter the ministry, once you enter the choir, once you enter into a care group, once you enter the master clubs, once you enter the ushering, whatever it may be, he's going to try to discourage you because of the failure of some of those around you, unmet expectations. And then many times we serve in the flesh. This is a very, very important subject that we don't have time to fully cover. But many, many times we get caught as Christians serving in the flesh instead of serving in the Spirit. And you can only run on the flesh so long. You can only serve so long on the flesh. You have to feed the spiritual man. Your spiritual man has to grow in order for you to serve effectively and not be in a position of burnout. I used to say years ago that I didn't believe in burnout. I still don't. I still, in the sense that a person can simply come to the point where they no longer can serve. I think that's absolutely wrong. Everybody can serve somewhere. Now, sometimes we get to the place where we are tired, but we should never get tired in the way. We might get tired of the way. We might get tired physically speaking and so forth, emotionally, whatever. But listen, we have a service to the Lord to do. And we have no right to quit until the Lord returns. We have no right. There are people dying and going to hell. They need the Savior. They need the gospel. And so let's say in one area you get tired. Many times it's because it can become physically, because you're getting to that age or whatever the case is. I'm being kind. It can be because you have served in the flesh too long and you don't have the spiritual gasoline to make it. And maybe sometimes we just need to go back to the Bible and get back to reading our Bible and getting back to our devotional life and getting back and making sure that our spiritual life is where it should be. So continuing, many times the devil will try to discourage us, make us ineffective, and because of unmet expectations of other people, seeing the failures of other people, but also simply because we are serving in the flesh. By the way, the pastor has done this many, many times. I know exactly what it is. I can look back in my ministry and say, yeah, there's a whole few months that I served in the flesh right there. And it affects me. And I promise you, it affects you as well. So as you think about that, continue. I look forward to the day that we stand before the Savior. And I hope you do as well. And I hope that He can say, well done, thou good and what? Faithful servant. And we want to be faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him faithfully until He returns. As we think about spiritual gifts, and we could spend a whole lot more time, and I don't have the time. I hate to keep saying that, but I don't. I don't want to keep you here till 9 o'clock tonight. But look through there. You can read 1 Peter 4:10. You can look through the booklet, What is a Spiritual Gift? As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We know very clear that the Scripture tells us in Peter, also in Corinthians, chapter 1 Corinthians 12, that everyone hath received a gift. And some have received multiple gifts that are to be used in God's house. These are gifts. These are talents. You say, well, what is my gift? Many times it's something you already enjoy doing. I've used the example of a salesman. If you enjoy selling things, then you ought to be using that gift in the church as well. If you have a voice, I know we harp on this one a lot. If you have a voice, if you can sing like a beautiful bird, you ought to be using your voice in the choir. You ought to be using your voice, using your talent, using that gift God has given you. Some of you guys are very talented in administration, and there's multiple areas you could help us in. Every year at the Fall Festival, which Brother Ladd is in charge of now, he could use a couple of helpers, a couple of ladies or men who are good administrators who could help him administrate that thing. And there's many other areas in which you can get involved in. And so whatever your area, you can take after the service, you can go back to one of the tables. You can have to find the table. I don't know which one it is. But there's some gift tests back there, right? All right, one of the tables back there. You can take the test, fill it out, and it'll help you. It'll show you some of these gifts, like the gifts of prophecy, which is not the gift of future telling, but is the ability to preach the Word of God. Ministry helps, teaching. I'm on page 6. Exhortation, giving, ruling, administration, the gift of mercy. Bobby Spivey, as much as we like to make fun of her, which I'll continue to do, Miss Bobby Spivey has the gift of mercy. There's no doubt in my mind she does. She has that gift. She loves to help. She loves to get in people's homes, and she loves to feed people that had something bad happen, right? She may gripe and complain about it, but she loves to do it. And I'm just kidding. And she's probably listening on the internet. But she has the gift of, huh? I'm sorry, I said Bobby Spivey earlier. Bobby Van Fleet. Hi, Miss Bobby Van Fleet. I called you Bobby Spivey for the last 10 minutes. Bobby Van Fleet. Bobby Van Fleet had throat cancer, went through a lot of things herself, and now she enjoys ministering to others who are in need, who are hurting. And that's what I mean. There's a place for everyone to serve, okay? All right, we're going to go through the ministries here and give you just an overview of those. And we have them up on the screen as well, and made me a nice little booklet here. So the first ministry we'll talk about is Backyard Bible Time. This is the name of our children's ministry during the AM service. And that's Ministry Involvement Night 2013. That's what it says. Go ahead and go to the next one. Is it timed or is it? It's slow. Let's get a bigger computer then. Okay. Children's Church, Backyard Bible Time. This is an area which you can get involved. By the way, there's not one person in this room who couldn't get involved in children's church. There's multiple areas of serving children's church, whether it's just a helper, helping to corral kids, all the way to teaching and helping in there. And so there's always places to serve. To teach doctrine and prepare our children to become productive children's church members through preaching, teaching, and other teaching aids such as object lessons, missionary stories, to engage young minds with the Word of God. Our children's church program taking place during the morning service. We sing songs, memorize scripture, and have a great preaching just like the adults do, but in an environment made specially for kids. It's organized by, of course, the children's ages. We have toddler church, which Miss Holder and Miss Edie do a wonderful job with. And we praise the Lord for these two ladies and their helpers. I don't know who all their helpers are. But I've said many times in the pulpit, I just thank the Lord for those two ladies. 3-year-old to kindergarten would... I'd be more afraid teaching 3-year-old in kindergarten than I am afraid of teaching you guys. All right, so there's my opinion. Children's church and then junior church. So you have three different phases in there. There's opportunities there for teaching in there with object lessons, missionary stories. You can rotate in there as a preacher. If you would like to teach in the rotation, you can do that. Workers to sit amongst the kids, song leaders, volunteers to make posters for words to our songs, check-in, registration people, help with arrival, help with the dismissal. And right now, we really are needing help with the kids arriving and the kids being dismissed. If you'd like to be helping that, see Brother Latta, who is now in charge of the children's church, and he can help get you plugged in there. But there's multiple areas there to get involved. And it's usually most of the opportunities in children's church on a rotation basis. So you don't have to go in there every Sunday. Usually it's every fourth, fifth, sixth Sunday that you rotate in and out. We rotate our teenagers in there. I think they have to be 15 or 16, I forget, but they rotate in there as well. We have 4 or 5 preachers that rotate through in there, and so it's a great opportunity for anyone, okay? The bookstore, Miss Carla has recently taken the bookstore, as Miss Sandy Walton had the bookstore for, I don't know, a long time. And Miss Sandy and the Waltons are getting ready to go start a church in Boise, Idaho. So they're kind of filtering out. and we're putting other people in their places. And so we appreciate Miss Carla's willingness to do that. But there's an opportunity for you to help her. And in there, in the bookstore. By the way, if you need a Bible, don't go buy